All right. Welcome to the Real Presence, Real Future podcast, a podcast dedicated to increasing the presence of Christ throughout the Diocese of Columbus through those values of boldness, collaboration, joy, humility, and active listening. I'm Father Mike Hartstein. Today, my guest is Bishop-elect Fernandez. Bishop-elect, thanks for taking the time to be with me.
I'm very happy to be here. I've been driving up and down I-71 lately, so it's good to be here.
Definitely. It's not cruising at 65 miles an hour, just sitting in one chair, right? So thank you. And can you start us off with our prayer for mission renewal?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God, our Father, we entrust Real Presence, Real Future to your providence. Through your Holy Spirit, inspire us for mission and evangelization. Make us disciples after the heart of your Son. In times of uncertainty, grant firm resolve. When we are unsettled, provide peace. When we are timid, make us courageous. With our ears, may we hear your promptings. With our eyes, may we see your handiwork. With our mouths, may we share the gospel. And with our hands, may we serve you. Replace our hesitation with holy enthusiasm, so that in drawing strength from the Eucharist, every endeavor of ours may be for your glory. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks, Bishop-elect. So, and thanks for taking the time again, too. So even people, if they're paying any kind of attention, they see your interviews everywhere in the dispatch, on the TV, and you were saying just before we sat down here that you were even on Sirius or XM Radio.
Yeah, Sirius XM, Catholic channel. I was on this morning on the drive up from Cincinnati to Columbus. They interviewed me for about 40 minutes.
So it's nonstop. So
it's
everyone
nonstop.
Wants to hear what
it's
you
nonstop,
have to
but
say.
I'm nonstop, too. I keep going and going.
So I really appreciate you sitting down with this kind of short little podcast here, because I think it's important for us to, as we're kind of in this planning initiative, to have our new bishop-elect sort of aware of our planning process, as we know that you are. And then for those who are listening either on diocesan YouTube page, a YouTube feed, and St. Gabriel Radio, They've hopefully been seeing that you've been a part of what's been going on in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati.
That's correct.
With your Beacons of Light.
Yeah, we've had something called Beacons of Light, which is similar to Real Presence, Real Future. And I've been involved with it from the outset, in part because when I worked at the Apostolic Nunciature in Washington, all the American bishops were doing their ad limina visits to Rome. Every 5 years or so, the bishops have to visit the Pope. And they all had to prepare reports on the state of their diocese. And those reports included pastoral planning in the different dioceses. As the youngest member of the staff, they presumed that the youngest member of the staff would be the strongest. I would help the archivist put the three copies in the diplomatic pouches to go to Rome. But what they didn't tell me is that I also had to read all the reports, which gave me great insight to what people were doing all over the country. So when I returned to Cincinnati, Cincinnati was also trying to do this pastoral planning process. Around 1985, they had done a process called For the Harvest. Around 2002, 2004, right when I was starting out in the priesthood, they did the Futures Project. But in each case, they kind of kicked the can down the road, and we had enough retired priests, enough priests being ordained to get by. But now, with a slew of retirements, even with a good number of ordinations in the Cincinnati Archdiocese, for example, 3 years ago, 9 men were ordained, then 2 years ago, 3, then last year, 7, then this year, another 7. Those are good numbers.
That's encouraging, yeah.
But it's not keeping pace with retirements, and so something had to be done. Part of that was building a culture of vocations, which Archbishop Schnur did, but part of it is also looking at the data. How many people do we have in our archdiocese? How many are actually going to Mass? What are the sacramental participation of the faithful? Where are people living? Where is the potential for new homes to be built? And where is the growth going to be to get the largest number of people coming to Mass, having access to the sacraments, as well as access to Catholic education and other things that the Church happens to offer? So we had a two-pronged strategy, and I was on the steering committee of the whole process. One was the data gathering phase. Now, we contracted with a group called Partners Edge, but there are other groups like Catholic Leadership Institute that do this type of work. work. Mm-hmm. And then we have a pastoral planning phase, which is being led by people from Leadership Roundtable based out of Washington. But we were trying to get a pastoral pathway together. So we first looked at the data, and then we kind of came up with what are going to be the guiding principles for interpreting this data in different areas, such as faith in action, which is like outreach, or evangelization and catechesis, or stewardship and facilities, finances in your buildings, sacraments and worship. So the liturgy and all these sorts of areas. And then within each of those, we had parameters to guide the process. So, for example, with respect to access to the Eucharist, priests were to say only two masses on a Sunday, maximum of three in a weekend. And therefore, how do you accommodate that? With respect to Sunday mass, churches need to be at least 50% full. So these were some of the parameters that we worked on, and people in the parishes, parish staffs, parish councils were involved in giving yay or nays to these different suggested parameters. Okay. And then we little by little tweaked and refined them. Partners Edge, the company that gathered the data, also helped prepare models, which were shared with the priests, which were shared with school principals, and then they were tweaked and refined, and then eventually shared with the entire public. And then we had a 3-week period of open comments from the public. They took all the input, and they tried to refine the model still further, and then the Archbishop finally promulgated those. But that's the first stage. Now we have to actually do the pastoral planning. And so liaisons are being hired by the Archdiocese to work with pastors to help them lead what we are calling groupings or families of parishes. These families of parishes will have to look at those kind of six key areas and come up with a 5-year pastoral plan with the hope that these parishes will move to being one parish at the end of that 5-year period.
So that's – thanks, Bishop, for outlining that. And I hear a lot of similarities in that plan for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, Beacons of Light, in what we're doing with Real Presence, Real Future, and actually things that we can kind of shore up and refine in our own, you know, planning process, especially now kind of with your fresh set of eyes and what you've seen maybe working and not working down in Cincinnati. So in order to kind of like – I mean satisfy some people's curiosity, even set them at ease – this is going to take a significant amount of time. So it's good that we're doing it now and taking the time to listen to people.
I think that's key. So Archbishop Schnur asked me to write the theological foundations for the whole Beacons of Light process. And one of the things I talked about is synodality, journeying together, so that the Pope keeps talking about synodality. Mm-hmm. And really it means walking together. But as you walk together, you also have to listen. Listen to what the Spirit has to say to the churches, to quote the book of Revelation. Listen to what the people of God themselves are saying. Listen to what the priests are saying. Listen to what the consecrated religious who have regular contact with both the people and especially the poor are saying. Mm-hmm. And how does this all come together? All of this has to aid not only the journeying and the walking, but eventually we have to interpret all of these different views in light of our faith. So, and to deliberate and eventually choose. Right. So when Ignatius of Loyola speaks about spiritual discernment, which is a critical component also related to synodality, he's talking about not just listening and walking, but actually discerning, which means recognizing the reality of the situation, interpreting the data in light of one's faith, in light of one's experience, and finally, not just deliberating using our reason, but choosing. And the Holy Spirit, who guides the whole process— gives us the gift of prudence. St. Thomas Aquinas says prudence is that virtue which helps us to choose the best means to accomplish an end. So we have lots of different choices, but we have to try to make the best choice. And that requires discernment, which necessarily means we need to take the time to pray.
Right.
Lots of people today, they want to just talk and they want to rush to action, and we have to be very careful and very prudent. We don't want to be too fast or too slow, but we need to be prudent.
And that's so great. And I love that because even though the Synod and Real Presence, Real Future are different sort of initiatives, we're doing RPRF and you were doing Beacons of Light before the Synod on Synodality was called. But since our Holy Father wanted a church to embrace this synodality. He wants it to be a style to adopt. So this is really like perfect for us to, as we're encouraged by the synod, to just like use what we're learning from his desire for the church to be a listening church.
That's right. We have to be a church that listens. But you said it rightly. It's not just about holding a synod or holding a meeting. Having a meeting about meetings, that's more like purgatory or even one of the lower rings of hell in Dante's Inferno. Rather, it's also about actually trying to come to some consensus, but we have to journey and with other people, some of whom we don't always agree with. But it's not just about having the meeting or the end product sometimes. It's about a whole style of life, about being the way of being a Christian in the world. It's a change of mentality in the way things are done.
And I think our Holy Father saw that, a great need for that, as, yeah, we're more connected digitally and with social media and things like that, but we're not really communicating with
one another.
And we're not adopting that style of active listening. I'm just waiting for somebody to stop talking until I can make my argument or whatever the case is.
There was a book called Reclaiming the Conversation. It was written by a woman up at MIT. And she was talking about the overuse of technology, that we have so overused technology. Young people have this fear of missing out. They go to a party and they don't actually enjoy the party because they're looking at what the next party is that they might be missing out on. And so they don't have a real experience of life. There's nothing like a personal encounter with a person to understand where they're coming from and what they're going through, that gives us a sense of empathy and not merely functionalism or efficiency. It's a change in mentality, a change in the style of the way we live as a church.
Well, definitely. And this is, I don't know if people would call it a party that we're in Real Presence, Real Future, but it's certainly exciting. And there's a lot to be proud of with it. And I hope, that people engage in that. That's our main goal for this.
Well, that's what we definitely want, engagement. We never want to make a decision out of fear, nor do we want to live in fear. The risen Lord passed through the locked doors where the apostles were when they were trapped in fear, and he said, "Peace be with you."
Right.
And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. He said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." He gave the apostles a certain authority, but they eventually were sent forth to boldly proclaim the gospel. This isn't just about dealing with the priest shortage. It's about evangelization and mission. We need to move from maintenance to mission and really to make ourselves sometimes more lean in order to more boldly proclaim the gospel so that the word of God can go forward.
Exactly. And thank you. And as we have to kind of move forward, whether or not we hear from people, these decisions have to be made on some level, because this reality is happening to us. But we just want more people to respond, you know, watch these videos about kind of the data that we've kind of shared already, respond with the survey, because we want to listen to you. People out there have good ideas.
Yeah, I do think it is important to listen to the people and to give time for people to make their responses so that we just don't charge ahead and it becomes something more like the emperor's new clothes. Mm-hmm. Rather, based on what they're saying to us, we can adapt and improve. You know, like the $6 million man, we can make him better. We can make him better than – we can rebuild him. We can make him better than he was before. Well, that's what the church constantly has to be adapting, attentive to the signs of the times to meet the true needs of the people of our day. And so that requires a degree of flexibility. And some things sometimes have to die. Decisions can't be put off forever. Some things do sometimes have to die, but so that other things can live. It's why sometimes you prune the vine so that fruit can real grow. And that's right. What we hope this whole process in the end will be, is very fruitful for the church in Columbus.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Bishop Elect. Thanks for taking some time to be with us. And we look forward to a couple more conversations as we go along on the Real Presence, Real Future journey.
So, certainly. You've got me for the next 25 years. Great. So there'll be a lot of conversations.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
All right. God bless you.